We have a man to give us a presentation, providing the fundamental tools, Braille books, a program not waiting, but producing. The president of National Braille Press from Boston, Massachusetts, here is Brian McDonald.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Maurer. I started as president of National Braille Press May 1st, 2008, so this is my second NFB convention. It's an honor to address you today and to see so many members and colleagues with a common cause and goal for independence, lifelong learning, and achievement. And much of it all starts with a basic component, a book. If you think about it, any material that will hold and transmit a text or a code can be considered a book. It is simply the receptacle or container, the method one conserves, stores, and keeps information so that it can be referenced and shared with others. Of course, the physical form of that book has changed over time based on materials available and technologies to produce it. So let's turn back, for those that remember, the Wayback Machine, and take a quick journey back in time to the first quote-unquote book. It wasn't very portable, since it weighed a few tons and was made of stone, and you thought a multi-volume Braille book was cumbersome. These go back to the cave paintings in southwestern France that were approximately 32,000 years ago. Fast forward to 5,000 years ago when hieroglyphics started in Mesopotamia. The kings of Assyria had libraries there in the city of Nineveh, which today would be across the Tigris River from Mosul in Iraq. And we found over 22,000 clay tablets there. Now these hieroglyphic symbols were carved in soft, moist clay, and then baked to make the tablets. And it's interesting to note that the depth and the way these unique symbols were carved might have been readable like a Braille graphic today. Many other materials were used in different parts of the world, such as wax and tree bark and bamboo and silk. One could even argue that tribal tattoos could be considered a book. Now, over time, you know, there's been lots of languages and codes that have been used, but the common denominator has been that these authors wanted to pass on information through their experiences and stories, their knowledge, to document religion and wars and history that could be shared with future generations. National Braille Press has been printing Braille information for 82 years. We print literally millions of pages of Braille every year, and thousands of tactile graphics for textbooks, children's books, and educational tests. Our focus is Braille literacy for children and to publish and provide access to information through adulthood for lifelong learning. We often run a very parallel course with the great work of the National Federation of the Blind because both of our organizations know the importance of Braille. Our Read Books program has provided free book bags to families in 50 states and parts of Canada to explain why Braille matters to child's education. Thank you. Now, you've just heard Dr. Schroeder talk about the debate regarding statistics on the number of potential Braille readers, ages, demographics, even the unemployment numbers are debated, which I will not go into today, don't worry. But we can see the changes in our customer database with a big gap in Braille literacy today. However, no one and no other organization should dispute the fact that Braille is a critical fundamental skill that has a direct correlation to employment. It's a pathway that supports independence, helps build self-confidence, and improves and expands one's education. Braille is literacy. In tribute to its architect, Louis Braille, Euclid Harry said it well in his address last summer to the World Blind Union. His speech was titled, Six Dots That Changed the World. And he said, when he was referring to Braille, and I quote, "It has transformed lives, lifted millions out of poverty, enabled countless numbers of intelligent, hardworking people to perform responsible, meaningful work, contribute to their communities, provide for their families, and enjoy rich, fulfilled lives," end quote. We know that Braille books are the key to a fuller education, especially for studying language, math, and science. And these come with many challenges, since printed textbooks today have more visuals and graphics and diagrams than ever before. So quality tactile graphics are often needed as an important supplement to a Braille book today. We also realize there are segments of the blindness community that have physical conditions or challenges that limit or prevent their ability to read Braille. But it shouldn't stop some of them from learning Braille to take notes in meetings or in classrooms on a note taker with speech output, if they can afford it. However, in spite of our knowledge concerning the importance of Braille, there are still many direct and indirect threats to Braille books and to using Braille in the future. To the older adults in this audience, which includes me, unfortunately, to me a book is a virtual vacation, a relaxing mental escape from daily routines. There's something very special about sitting in a quiet, comfortable room, getting engulfed and just turning your ears off. It's the sanctuary to me. Unfortunately, today's youth have many distractions that compete with reading a traditional book, and the passive education from reading about cultures, history, and values are being threatened. One of my daughters is a fourth grade teacher, and she had to explain to her class recently what camera film was. Not one student had any knowledge of what the word film even meant. They only knew digital cameras. So welcome to the growing digisphere of accessible technology, the black hole of the internet, cell phones, constant texting, blogs, and the social networks of Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, YouTube, LinkedIn, Plaxo. The Columbia Journalism Review recently published a study from the Associated Press on youth and technology, and they noted that at the time, which is now 2 years ago when the survey was done, there were already 150 million websites, 70 million blogs, and new sites were expanding at the rate of 10,000 per hour. Terms like megabytes turned into terabytes, and now the latest is exabytes, which the exa prefix means 1 billion. The whole point of this is that the Associated Press study found that young adults were suffering from news fatigue, quote unquote. I would take it one step further and state that the young people have so many accessible, social, interactive options today that the concept of a basic reading literacy novel outside of a mandatory classroom is being threatened. Thank goodness to a few blockbuster youth books like Harry Potter, which brings some revival to reading. It's easy to make the claim that technology is a double-edged sword. Since the advent of personal computers, speech recognition, and voice output devices today, access to information has improved dramatically, and they're very beneficial. The chairman of our board, my boss, Paul Paravano, who I believe is here, so I'll say he's an unbelievably great guy, intelligent, good-looking, okay. But in all seriousness, Paul Paravano is a Braille reader, and he uses his computer software to read his email, since the volume he receives on a daily basis would take a long time to filter through. But he is the first one to emphatically state that he would not have the job he has today in government relations at MIT without his ability to use Braille on a daily basis. Last October, National Braille Press founded the Center for Braille Innovation, CBI for short. We haven't talked about it much. This is the first public announcement even about it. To focus specifically on technologies that can improve the Braille and tactile graphic production process, and to develop truly affordable Braille tools beyond our books for the blindness community. CBI is National Braille Press's think tank, part virtual, part bricks and mortar, that wraps around our strategic plan and looks for these solutions. We have put together a team of great team of engineers, inventors, entrepreneurs, and researchers that have made the commitment to bring affordable products to market, including refreshable Braille devices. Team CBI, as they've named themselves, includes people with backgrounds from IBM, Motorola, the inventor of Bluetooth and the Razer phone, private engineering firms, and support from a list of distinguished universities in the United States and overseas. Yes, it's like the Crusades and the search for the Holy Braille. I've heard that many times. For your reference, some of these Knights Templars, if we stay on that theme, on our team have names that may be familiar to some of you, including pioneers in the field like Dean Blasey, Noel Runyon. Another positive side to this technology is that it's changing more rapidly than ever before. And it's these new technologies that provide the promise for new, affordable production methods and lower costs. Now, National Braille Press is not a direct advocate for blindness, nor are we the voice of the nation's blind. I think that's covered pretty well in this room right here. No, we're the tool maker in the tool shed, tinkering away, and Braille books will always be that fundamental tool. Now, earlier I mentioned that how one defines a book has changed over time due to materials used and technologies. And the Center for Braille Innovation is looking at every conceivable cutting-edge technology and resource to develop and create better, more affordable, interactive tools for Braille literacy. The world is in the early stages of another dramatic technological wave. The Kindle and Sony readers are getting traction, and major changes are around the corner. It's hard to believe this, I'm dating myself again, but last Wednesday was the 30th anniversary of the great-grandfather to the iPod, the Sony Walkman that used cassettes. Mm-hmm. I personally love the 8-tracks myself, they sounded better. They died for cassettes. Computer media is changing from DVDs and CDs. Minis will soon replace laptops and notebooks. USB flash drives will be replaced with smaller, faster nano somethings they haven't even named yet. OLEDs, organic light-emitting diodes, LEPs, light-emitting polymers, will provide inexpensive light sources for homes and bendable screens made of downloadable organic polymers that will solve many problems. The challenge to all of you Federationists out there in this room is to help us keep Braille alive. Yes, we support the need for NLS's digital talking players and Victor Reader streams and other speech technologies. They're useful and have an important market to serve. But it's tempting to succumb to these types of technologies because it's simple and easy to do. However, if one has the ability to read Braille, don't always settle for convenience. It's not enough. Because every blind and visually impaired child and adults in this world have the right to read. The other day I was in our lunchroom listening to three of our proofreaders, and they were talking about the importance of Braille, so I just sat down and listened knowing I was going to speak to you today. One was saying that she liked talking books, but every time she'd listen at night, she would fall asleep. Another proofreader responded saying she didn't like talking books at all, because when she reads a Braille book, she likes to imagine the different sounds of the characters' voices, and in her own mind, she can create a better scene than just listening to a narrator. The third person said, he just doesn't feel that he learns as much by listening versus actively reading Braille. Braille will not become the next Latin. It is not and cannot become a dead language. But it must be integrated into future technologies and into mainstream devices. As National Braille Press and Team CBI collaborates with universities and companies and organizations, a new generation of products will evolve. and with it a new business model to be successful. I'm confident that a future affordable book, an e-book, will also evolve. However, as teachers, as friends, as mentors, and as parents of blind children, you must focus on the importance of that basic fundamental tool, the Braille book, whether it's paper, electronic, or some future form that we can't even imagine today. It doesn't matter, because within it lies the future of Braille itself, and ultimately a more rewarding, knowledgeable, successful, joyful, and independent life. Enjoy the rest of the convention, and thank you for listening. Okay.